All right, this is part two of the situation update from Monday, May 24th, 2021. This part covers the economy and the economic collapse and also California's artificial engineering of a drought and food scarcity and economic collapse. But to start with, I got to ask you a question. Are you seeing the hyperinflation yet? Are you seeing it? Because I'm seeing it over this weekend. Oh, I went nuts. I started looking at real estate prices in Central Texas, and they have gone insane, insane. We're talking about now 300 to 400% price increases in 10 years, and prices have doubled basically in just, I think, 2 years in many areas. No, seriously, I remember this corner lot I saw a few years ago. It was listed for $163,000. Because I was considering buying it at the time, but I don't have time to manage corner lots and so on. So I said, no. What am I thinking? This is crazy. I should focus on what I know, which is clean food and so on. So of course I didn't buy it. It just sold for $730,000. That's crazy. And then I have seen around Central Texas, different areas. I actually just went online on, I think it was Redfin. I was just looking at property values, like 25 acres with a crappy little cabin on it, two bedroom, like one halfway working bathroom. That thing just sold for $1.3 million. And this is acreage that a decade ago would have been like $5,000 an acre. So it would have been, you know, $125,000 in land and maybe $75,000 for the building. So maybe figure $200,000. A decade ago, just sold for $1.3 million. I mean, these are the kind of price increases that we would expect in a place like San Francisco, but not Central Texas. And I'm actually getting very concerned because I know that a lot of the local people here are not going to be able to afford the property taxes, certainly not to be able to buy land. And I'm getting very concerned that a lot of people from outside of Texas are moving in and buying up land. And they're not real Texans. And I've always said, you know, if you want to come to Texas, you got to have a Texas attitude and Texas ethics and morals. You know, you need to be pro First Amendment, pro Second Amendment. You need to believe in God. You need to be polite. You need to, you know, not vote for libtard Democrats and so on. You want to come to Texas, you better be the real deal. Otherwise, you're not welcome here. And yet, the rumor is over this weekend that Elon Musk just bought this, what is it? I don't know how many acres. It's like thousands of acres of a ranch outside of Bastrop, Texas. And it's actually called the Steiner Ranch. And I've been to that ranch, by the way, the Steiner Ranch. And I know Alex Jones is friends with the Steiner brothers, I think it is, or at least Shane Steiner, who's part of the family who owned that ranch. I don't know why they were selling it, but the rumor is that Elon Musk bought the ranch, and it's a massive ranch, you know, tens of millions of dollars. And it's because it's not far from the Tesla factory that is going up on the southeast side of Austin at the intersection of the in case you're familiar with the area, the 130 tollway and Highway 71. So there's this massive, massive factory going up there. And then Elon Musk buys this ranch in Bastrop. And the Health Ranger store is right in between those two. It's in the middle of those two things. So thank goodness we have a lot of acreage at the Health Ranger store commercial site. We can continue to expand and build for a while. But how are my employees going to be able to afford to live if you have all this Elon Musk money coming in? And then you've got like Joe Rogan money, you know, coming in. He moved from California, moved to Texas. And I mean, Joe Rogan's not a Texan. I'm sorry. He is not a Texan. He still has LA values. He doesn't have Texas values. Not a true Texan. And Elon Musk isn't a Texan. They're bringing in all this out-of-state money, buying up all this land and using up all the resources, hiring all the people, raising all the property prices to insane levels. But this This is all part of the hyperinflation. There's too much money in the system, too much money in the hands of people like Elon Musk. And didn't Joe Rogan get a $100 million deal from Spotify to do podcasts? That's crazy. $100 million? And then they censor him too on top of that? That's crazy. So then the problem is that all these people are going to follow Elon, because they're going to say, oh, Austin is so cool. It's so awesome. Tesla is there and Elon is there and I want to be there. And you're going to have all these libtards moving in and bringing their California money and buying up all this land in Texas. And it's going to change the culture. And I just, you know, there's a part of me, I just thank God that Texas still has rattlesnakes and scorpions and hot weather, because it's got to be tough enough to scare a few snowflakes away. You know, I wish it was tougher to live in Texas, frankly. It's a little too easy with air conditioning. We need to go back to old West Texas, where you had to be a super rugged dude or gal to survive, where you had to like capture rattlesnakes by hand, bite their heads off, you know, and like you had to eat scorpions with your teeth. You know, those were tough days. You had to reach your forearm into the birth canal of that cow and yank that calf out because you were a cattle rancher and that calf was getting born sideways. You didn't care. You just buckle up. You just shove your hand in there, find a hoof and yank on it. That's the Texas way. Tough people. Yeah, we don't need government subsidies and welfare. We can take care of ourselves, but stop invading our state. No, seriously, we don't want Californians in Texas unless you adopt the Texas mentality, which is rugged individualism, self-reliance, morality, ethics, God country, you know, pro-America, strong borders. We support veterans and cops and guns. And if you're not into that, stay the hell out of Texas. And if you think all the cows walking around that have horns are bulls, you don't belong in Texas. Those are females. The women have horns, so to speak. The women cows. But the point about all this really is not just about Texas. It's that the middle class is getting obliterated all across America because we have all this price inflation that's happening. There's too much money in the system. Obviously, interest rates are still very, very low. So the cost of money is almost nothing. Money is basically free, and the government's handing it out by the trillions, and the stock market is in a bubble, and the cryptos are in a bubble, and everybody thinks these are assets. And so they're using these assets to buy more land and get out of the Democrat cities. I mean, even non-Texans have figured that their liberal cities are going to collapse. So even, you know, smart liberals are realizing we got to get out of L.A., you know, in the back of their minds, they're like, yeah, we voted for all these Democrat numbskulls who are collapsing it, but we got to get out of here before the collapse happens. Let's go ruin some other red state. That's what they're really thinking. Let's go vote for socialism in Texas and see how fast we can collapse Texas. But the middle class is getting obliterated everywhere. And you don't want to live in a country with no middle class. All you have is the elite, wealthy, and then the impoverished masses, i.e., Mexico or Venezuela or Cuba, for that matter, the impoverished masses under the tyrannical thumb of a military dictatorship run by the political elite, the hyper-corrupt, hyper-connected, the corporate fascists and the totalitarian left-wing lunatics, the socialists, the fascists, the Marxists, the communists. That's what it's all turning into. You don't want to live in that system. Because nobody's safe in a society where there's no middle class. Nobody's safe. Even if you have money, you're living among people who don't, and they're desperate, and they're starving. And everything they thought they had was confiscated by the government in the fiat currency collapse that's coming. So you don't want a bunch of poor people to dominate the landscape, but that's exactly what Democrats want, because that's who they can control. Oh, they love poor people. They want to keep them poor, keep them trapped on the Democrat slave plantation. They don't want you to have any rights to speak. They don't want you to have honest money. And they certainly don't want you to have firearms, which is why you should be buying firearms. Oh, and I should mention, You know how I mentioned that 9EZ 9mm pistol is very easy to rack the slide? For women who don't have that forearm strength or that grip strength, it's a great gun for them. I found out that Springfield also has a gun called the XD-E, E for easy. It's the XD-E. That's a handgun made by Springfield. And I think it's kind of like their Shield guns. It's a 9mm. It's also very easy to rack, just like the 9EZ. At least this is my understanding of it. I don't own one of those, but for those of you looking for a gun that's easy to rack, check that out, the XD-E. I did buy a 9EZ, and I tried it, and it works great. Works great. So it definitely works. Easy to shoot. It's got a very narrow frame. It's less than an inch wide, I believe, or maybe right about an inch, so it's very concealable. Pretty easy gun. And by the way, I should say I like the grip safety on it. And I notice a lot of these Springfield pistols have a grip safety. And I'm not going to get into a bunch of gun talk here, but if I were going to do appendix carry, which is where you carry a pistol right down the front of your pants, kind of pointing down at your junk, if I were going to carry that way, which I don't, but if I did, I would want to have a grip safety. I'd want to have like multiple safeties, because you don't want a round going off anywhere near what's in your pants. Not a good scene. So safeties make sense in that situation, but I don't like thumb safeties. I'm not into thumb safeties at all. I hate guns with thumb safeties. But grip safeties are a good idea in that case. Oh, by the way, this reminds me. Over the weekend, I broke one of my holsters. I shouldn't say I broke it. It broke on me. And so I have this holster from, what is it? Stealth Gear USA. It's a very comfortable holster. I did a review on it. And half of it is this cloth material, and the other half is a Kydex shell. And I've been carrying around this SIG P320 in that. And I got out of my UTV ranch vehicle, just stepped out of it, and my gun fell on the ground. Because it turns out that this holster just broke. The Kydex portion broke. And I've had this less than a year, so I'm going to contact them and try to get a replacement. They make different shells for it, so they'll probably just send me a new shell, which is pretty easy to swap out. But as I was thinking about this, I was like, you know, wouldn't it be great if I had the equipment to just make my own Kydex shell? Because it's actually not very difficult to do. So I went online and I did a little bit of searching about how to make your own Kydex holster. And it turns out there are actually quite a lot of resources available online for teaching you how to do that. And I found the site called holstersmith.com. Holstersmith.com. And they're not a sponsor or anything. It's not a plug. I'm just telling you that they make all the tools and kits and everything so you can make your own holsters. And I saw some videos. And it seems pretty simple. And I wanted to pass along to you that if you're looking for a trade or a skill to have during the collapse where you had something of value to offer people, being able to make Kydex holsters is a pretty good skill. It's just an obvious thing. Like some of us can grow food. Some people can butcher cows. Some people can do, you know, gunsmithing. Some people reload ammo. Some people fix diesel engines. But some people need to make holsters because there's going to be a lot of need for holsters in a collapsed society. So using some pretty low-tech equipment and maybe a few hours of training and some practice, you can make Kydex holsters for almost any gun. It's a pretty good thing. So I think I'm going to get one of these kits myself, and I'm just going to start making my own holsters because I'm tired of having holsters break on me. And it's not the first one that's broken on me. I had another one fail a couple weeks ago for a different reason. One screws came out of the belt loop. It's like, okay, I need to make my own holsters. You know, it's good to have real world skills. This is, again, we're not living in some massively multiplayer online role-playing game where you have a fake skill of being able to build a sailboat or something. This is a real skill of being able to build holsters in the real world, and you can just stockpile sheets of Kydex. And you can churn out holsters for people and barter with them. Barter for food, barter for silver, whatever. Now, let's get to cryptocurrencies here for a second. because again, we had this big Bitcoin crash and Ethereum crash and so on. Now I know there's been some retracement of some of those values off that crash, but you notice how for the last couple of years, everybody's been telling us that Bitcoin is digital gold, that it is a digital store of value. Well, I think the 50% crash in the Bitcoin price pretty much obliterated that argument. If it were digital gold, it couldn't possibly lose 50% virtually overnight. So it's not digital gold. The whole point of gold is that it isn't digital, that it's physical. That's the whole selling point of gold. It's physical. It's impervious to most things. It's an element. It has natural physical scarcity. It has many uses. It's considered precious by human beings because it's beautiful and it's used in all kinds of, you know, industrial processes and even in dentistry and so on. So anybody that's been telling you that Bitcoin is digital gold kind of got slapped pretty hard over the last 10 days. But more importantly, if Bitcoin is supposed to be reliable and stable, how could it lose 50% virtually overnight? Or how could Dogecoin or Bitcoin gain or lose so much based off the tweets of one man? Once again, it all comes back to Elon Musk. Damn, I'm tired of hearing that name, Elon Musk. He'll go out and tweet something and then Bitcoin will go up 20%. Or the next morning he'll be in a bad mood, he'll tweet something else and then it'll crash like 30%. Folks, if one man can make a market or crash the market, it's not a healthy market. It's not a healthy market. It's not stable. It's not a store of value if one man has that much control over it. So everybody talks about, oh, it's decentralized. Not if one man controls it that much. It's not decentralized. It's fully centralized in the hands of one Elon Musk, who's made more money. His company has made more money selling Bitcoin than it has making trucks, because the truck doesn't even exist yet. And even Bitcoin doesn't even exist. There's no actual coins. It's just a digital entry in a ledger, which is the same as the Cybertruck. It's a bunch of digital plans on a hard drive somewhere. It's not even a real truck. Now, all this stuff would be very valuable and really great if you become a transhumanist and upload your soul to the machine and you live in the machine. Then you can drive the fictional truck. You can even live in that little fictional RV on the back of the Tesla truck, because now your digital avatar can fit in it. And you can sell your digital Bitcoin to buy a digital Tesla truck, and you can drive around your digital landscape. But in the real world, none of that stuff is real. None of it's real. And then I also hear, by the way, you know, I hear people say, on the Bitcoin side, they say, well, Bitcoin is real because retailers accept it. Retailers will take your Bitcoin. I know. I'm one of the retailers that takes Bitcoin. And then, like all the other retailers, I immediately sell it. So anytime that you spend something in Bitcoin, you know, you're buying products and you're spending Bitcoin, the party on the other side of that transaction is immediately selling that Bitcoin in almost every case. Why? Why are they selling Bitcoin for fiat currency? Because they don't want to take the risk of losing 50% overnight because Elon Musk tweeted something. If you're a retailer and you're in the business of whatever you're retailing, like I'm in the food business, you know, Health Ranger store, or, you know, like our sponsor, the satellite phone business, or whatever, people are selling cars, whatever. If you're in the car business and you sell a car, somebody pays you in Bitcoin, you're going to immediately sell that Bitcoin. You can't take a risk of losing 50% by holding the Bitcoin. You're not going to hold it just so you can do what? As a car dealer, go buy something else with Bitcoin? What are you going to do? Pay salaries in Bitcoin? No. So the retailers are getting rid of the Bitcoin as quickly as possible, which means they have to sell it. So when you use Bitcoin, it causes a liquidation of Bitcoin. And in order to sell it, there has to be a willing buyer. Somebody else willing to step in and say, oh yeah, I'll pay $50,000 for a digital entry. Yeah, sure, I'll jump on that train. What happens when you run out of those people who are willing to pay $50,000 or $30,000? The price plummets. And the thing is, everybody who owns Bitcoin right now, they think they have a certain amount of money They don't understand how it works. They don't have that money until you find enough buyers to buy it at that price. Let's say Bitcoin's $50,000 again, which it isn't, but let's just say it was. If everybody thinks they have $50,000 worth of Bitcoin in every coin, they're doing the math in their head. The only way to realize that is to find some other sucker that's willing to step in and take over your Bitcoin by giving you fiat currency in the amount of $50,000 per coin. In other words, you have to find new participants to take your place and to give you money. And then you hand them over, you know, a blockchain entry. How many people are willing to do that? Not that many, which is why the price has been falling. And then there are thousands of cryptocurrencies. They shouldn't even be called currencies. They're not technically, you know, currencies. But there are thousands of them. And some of them are like 10 cents a coin. So the average Joe's like, why should I pay $50,000 for a Bitcoin when I can buy this other coin, you know, dog and cat coin for 10 cents a coin? Or the joke's on you coin or butt coin. It's only 10 cents a coin. Why wouldn't I just want to own one of those for 10 cents? Because it's all the same. And you're not actually getting anything physical. It's just an entry. You know, and then the Bitcoin promoter says, well, you want to own Bitcoin because Bitcoin is worth more. You're like, well, it's only worth more because you guys kept bidding up the price. It's not inherently worth more. It's just that you're paying more. Why should I pay more when I could pay less? I could pay 10 cents and have this other coin. Well, you don't get it, is the answer. You just don't get it. You just don't get it. You're just thinking old school. Like I remember in the dot-com boom, when I was warning everybody that the dot-com bubble was going to burst, you know, back in 99, and everybody was saying, you just don't get it, man. You don't need profits anymore. You don't need earnings. You just need to just buy low and sell high, and everybody's just going to get rich just buying low and selling high. You don't need to pay attention to price to earnings ratios. And they would talk like that too. It's like, And then they lost everything, you know, because they were living in a dream world. This is all fantasy land. It's the same thing right now with Bitcoin. Fantasy land. A lot of people are going to lose everything. This is like drcoop.com. This is like, think about it. Back in the dot-com boom, people thought they were getting rich because they were trading digital entries with each other with higher and higher numbers attached to them. You know, drcoop.com. Oh my God, it's $100 a share. Now it's $200 a share. Oh, it's just double my money. Now it's $500 a share. Oh my God, I'm rich. It's all digital nonsense. It's an illusion. And then they woke up one day and drcoop.com had plunged 99%. Like, what happened? And that's when they all started screaming, how come there aren't protections for market investors? Like, when all the stocks are going up and the Bitcoin's going up, everybody's screaming, isn't the free market awesome? Free market's so awesome. It's all free. We're all making money. It's great. Get the government out of the way. And then when it crashes, those very same people are like, how come the government didn't protect us, man? How come the government didn't step in and save us? There should be some safety precautions. There should be some boundaries we got taken advantage of. The very same people screaming for the free market will be screaming for government bailouts when it all turns against them. See, the free market's awesome when it's working in your favor. Free market sucks when you're getting destroyed. And that's what the crypto people are about to find out. And some people think this is their career, just like people who buy Tesla stock and think that's their career. Like, what do you do for a living? I buy Tesla stock. Oh, really? What else do you do? Nothing. I just buy Tesla stock. that produces an income? Oh, yeah. It keeps going up. It's like, you ask people, what do you do? I buy cryptos. Really? What are you planning to produce something for the world, you know, to have value to society in some way? No, I'm just going to buy cryptos and Tesla stock. And then you ask them, what are the long-term plans? Well, one day I'm going to sell all my Tesla stock and use it to buy cryptos. And then I'm going to sell all my cryptos and buy Tesla. Like, you really are a moron, aren't you? You have no skills. You have no desire to produce anything. You have no ability to push a broom. You don't know how to make a pizza, do the dishes, load a garbage can, change a tire. All you know how to do is buy things that don't exist. And you know, using other people's money, like stimulus money. That's not an economy, folks, and that will crater. It will crash and burn catastrophically. And then these people are going to scream, like, how come the government didn't save us? Oh, and just one more thought on that, and I'll move on to the big story. The government absolutely supports the concept of cryptocurrency, but only as long as they control it. So make no mistake, folks, the banking deep state, if you will, they are absolutely going to roll out their, well, maybe not crypto, but digital currency. And it'll have some level of, you know, cryptography in it. So you could call it crypto or digital or whatever. But the banks, the JP Morgans, you know, they're going to have their digital currency. It's not going to be Bitcoin. It's not going to be Dogecoin. It's not going to be Ethereum. It's going to be something they control, they monitor. They can kick you out of it. They could automatically tax you. Bitcoin is a ploy to get people used to the idea of digital wallets, to get them ready for the central banks to roll out their digital mark of the beast monetary system. That's what's coming, folks. And Bitcoin was just a stepping stone to get people into that line of thinking. All right, now moving on to the economic collapse story in California. There's a great article by CaliforniaGlobe.com. California reservoirs were filled to the top in 2019, now being drained by the state. So facing a dry year, California State Water Board is draining California reservoirs. And you say, what? Oh, yeah, because they want to engineer a food crisis and a water shortage and an economic collapse. It's all the same as why the vaccines are killing people, because this is all about an engineered collapse. And they want famine. They want starvation. They want desperation. So this article is by Katie Grimes, published May 21st. California reservoirs were designed to provide a steady five-year supply for all users and were filled to the top in June of 2019. But in the last 14 days, 90% of the Delta inflow went to the sea. That's equal to a year's supply of water for 1 million people. Hashtag man-made drought. This was being stated by Central Valley farmer Christy Diner. Man-made drought. She's a California water expert and a farmer. She's been warning that the water is unnecessarily being let out to sea as the state faces a dry year. Are we having a dry year? Yes, she says. But that's normal for us. Should we be having water shortages in the start of our second dry year? No. Our reservoirs were designed to provide a five-year supply, and they were filled to the top in June of 2019. You're looking at our largest reservoirs less than 2 years ago. They were absolutely teeming with water from 107% to 145% of average. They held enough water for everyone who relies on them for 7 years. But now we're barely into our second year. Where did it go? So this publisher, CaliforniaGlobe.com, they did the research. They looked at the data set from the state, the California state government database. According to the California Legislative Analyst Office, statewide water use averages 85 million gallons per day. But San Francisco is suing the state water board. The state water board's 40% unimpaired flows plan, requiring 40% of the Tuolumne River water to flow directly to the ocean without being used for anything else, limits the river's supply to Hetch Hetchy, the main water source for San Francisco. In other words, I mean, I'm not going to go into all the details here because I can't pronounce all these names anyway, but they're letting a lot of the water just go out to the ocean instead of filling the reservoirs, basically, or being used for other things that would reduce the draw against the reservoirs. So this is a man-made crisis to cause drought, And note that California provides a tremendous amount of the food for America. You know, a lot of the vegetables and so on are grown in the Central Valley in California. And a lot of the reservoirs provide irrigation to this food supply. And when California reduces its food supplies, it causes spike increases in food costs on food coming from other states because there's increased demand, but there's limited supply. So this is what's going to contribute to food inflation. Now, nationwide, the problem here, or the goal, really, of the government is to cause food to become so expensive that they want more people to be on food stamps and more people to be dependent on the government and more bailout money to everybody because they want a crisis where people are starving and people are in the streets probably burning down government buildings and so on. They want a crisis. They want starvation because this is how the government gains more power. So this explains the COVID lockdowns. You know, this explains the shutting down of the meat packing plants, claiming, oh, it's COVID, you can't process food. This explains so much of what's happening in our economy. It's an engineered shutdown of America in order to achieve the globalist goals of a global reset and mass depopulation. This is one of the factors that's going into it. So as food inflation continues to rise, you're going to see people spending more and more of their money on food inflation, you know, food prices, from 40% of their income to, you know, 60 or 70% of their income at some point. And this is going to cause a wave of homelessness and bankruptcies and social unrest. Because remember, every society is, what, 9 meals away from anarchy. This is how they're going to create anarchy and then declare martial law and bring in the military to run the food deliveries and the FEMA camps and the vaccine centers, of course, and take away your guns and take away all your rights. It's just going to be military occupation. This is the Democrats' plan. I'm not sure they're going to succeed in all of this. This is their plan because it's going to be a global reset, dollar collapse, food collapse, freedom collapse, all of it at once. And God, I wish Bitcoin was the answer to all this. I really do. I wish we could just buy a digital currency and opt out of the whole nightmare system. The problem is they can take down the power grid too, as they proved in Texas. They can take down the power grid, and how are you going to function with cryptocurrency when there's no electricity and there's no internet? Answer, you're not. It's all worth zero at that point. And then you're standing in a FEMA line telling the guy behind you, I was a Bitcoin billionaire. Now I'm standing in a FEMA camp hoping to get a meal of genetically modified soybeans. That's how fast it can happen. You don't believe me? Ask people who survived Venezuela. It can happen, boom, just like that. All right, so that's the truth of where we are right now in the economic news. Oh, it's going to be a mess. Part three coming up next is about COVID and vaccines, and I've got a lot of headlines on the vaccines, and I hope I can get to a part four and five today. But I don't know, it's early in the morning. We'll see how much energy I have. There's a lot of news to bring you. Just want to remind you, this episode today is sponsored by the satellite phone store, SAT123.com. And if you want to support our efforts, go to healthrangerstore.com, where we have lab-tested, storable food. That's, I think we have 1,000 sets coming back in stock this Friday. So if you go there now, you can sign up to get an email alert, and you can be among the people to get the email alert, and then you can buy, I mean, 1,000 won't last very long. It'll probably last like 3 days, maybe 2 days. I don't know. UPS is giving us a hard time. How many pallets are you shipping out today? 7 the other day. So this is where we are. This is the wrap up of part two. Part three is coming up next. This is the situation update. Thank you for listening.